Welcome to VI Talk, sharing ideas, information and support.
Hi everyone, it's Jo and I've got Dawn with me this morning.
Hello.
And it's a pleasure to welcome to VI Talk podcast Andy Shipley and Holly Booker. Hiya both.
Hi there.
Hello.
Hi.
Morning.
Really good to have you on the podcast, and we've got lots of interesting things to talk about. So do you want to start, if we start with Holly, ladies first, do you want to tell us how you both met?
Well, we first met, I'm from Derbyshire and Andy's from down south.
Buckinghamshire.
We live quite far apart, but we were both involved in a research project with the University of Exeter, which involved a workshop at a Wildfowl and Wetlands Trust Slimbridge site in Gloucestershire. So we were both at that workshop, and that was exploring how people with visual impairments actually experience going out into nature. So it was a really interesting thing to work on. And at the time I was working in the visitor experience department for a nature conservation organisation, for the RSPB. So I was involved in getting people to visit nature reserves and putting on special events for them. So it was really interesting to me to look at new ways that people could experience nature. That's where we first met.
Okay. And Andy, do you want to tell us a little bit about your background?
Yeah, I'd love to. I do have a visual impairment, and I've been involved in disability equality campaigning for quite a long time, but also was chair of a charity that's now sadly no longer in existence, called the Field Fair Trust, that really worked as both campaigning and providing consultancy services around how to make the country's access to the countryside more accessible for disabled people. But we also ran a national competition for schools, which was really groundbreaking and innovative, because it brought teams of students together. And the premise was that you had a team of eight, four of which were non-disabled and the other four had to be disabled. And the events were designed in such a way where the teams could only really succeed if they collaborated. So that, for me anyway, that was really inspiring, and it just got me thinking about just being in the countryside together and experiencing that with people who have a really diverse array of backgrounds, experience and sort of impairments and different ways of perceiving, I think, nature. And then in 2012, I was awarded a place on something called the CLAW Social Leadership Programme. And that gave me really a year off just to research areas of interest and invest my time in developing just sort of different ways of having an impact on society. And one of the areas I explored was actually this idea of making outdoor activities more inclusive, and that took me to Pembrokeshire in Wales, where I teamed up with a coastal adventure company called TYF, and we just spent time trying out the different activities that they do. So they do surfing, climbing, something called coasteering, which is scrambling around on cliff faces by the sea and jumping in at various points and just really throwing yourself around on the coastline. And part of that was obviously to make their activities more inclusive. But in order to do that, I thought they ought to work themselves with their non-visual senses just to experience what that was like. And when we were doing that, we were actually discovering how their non-visual senses became much more heightened once they had stopped using their eyes. And that really turned a little light bulb on for me. And really, ever since 2013, I've been working on this idea in different ways. And the most recent of which is this project at Western Burt's Arboretum. Having started that work in 2013 in Pembrokeshire, I was not long after contacted by University of Exeter, who'd heard about the work I was doing, to see if I wanted to get involved in their research around how to make natural heritage sites more inclusive for people with visual impairments, which led to the workshop at Slimbridge Wildfowl and Wetland Trust, where I then met Holly. So, that's where we first met and began to discuss this idea of actually the power of creating more multi-sensory experiences in nature and how that can reach everybody more deeply.
We did lose contact a little bit after that, didn't we? But then obviously we have similar interests and kind of motivations for doing things. So we did meet up again on a Shinrin Yoku course down in Devon, which was, I think, in 2017. And so we were both doing this forest bathing course. And we kind of got chatting again, didn't we? And I moved organisations then as well. I was no longer with the RSPB. I was with the Woodland Trust. So we started talking about how we could design experiences at Woodland Trust sites that kind of interpreted the rich history, the human history and the natural history of a site, and kind of provided the aim was to build up to kind of a multi-sensory immersive experience in Skipton Castle Woods in North Yorkshire that would highlight, because it's got such a rich history of the woods being kind of part of the community and helping to build the castle and build the town. And it was going to be, such a fantastic project, but unfortunately, that the COVID-19 kind of got in the way of that, and we had to put that one not even on a back burner, just the Woodland Trust had to pull out, basically. But that project is still continuing. Mm. So that's still going on at Western Burt Arboretum. Yeah. But I'm not involved in that anymore.
No.
Do you actually run courses yourselves or?
Yes, we both do. Holly runs courses under the title Nature for Life, and the courses I run are Nature Sense Experiences, both of which kind of had to go on hold during the pandemic. And we've sort of moved to a more online, at least I've moved to a more online presence at the moment. So I've been running weekly nature immersion experiences with a Sunday afternoon Zoom session, which are currently called Seasonal Sensations. And each week we look at a different aspect of nature within a really wide range of different themes and topics. But that's just, I found that a really great way of just keeping people connected with things to think about and experiment with when they're out on their own in nature, because people can still go out, but we just can't get together and run sessions. So people can go out and try different activities and different, different practices, as I say.
And I've been going to a few of those sessions. I've been participating, but a couple of times I've kind of guest presented as well, which has been great. Done a couple of sessions on birds, because that's my area of expertise.
Really good.
And then I think that led to Andy coming up with the idea of us doing a podcast together, because we work quite well together, I think, as presenters.
So that's really new, isn't it? The podcast is, you have got episode one out, haven't you, now? So do you want to tell us more about that? Who wants to talk about that?
Okay, well, I'll kick off and Holly can. So episode one was out on the 20th of March, and in a very timely way to celebrate the arrival of the equinox. And each podcast will follow a sort of similar format, really, in which two of us talk about what we've noticed in nature, in the few days preceding the recording of the podcast. And then we have a guided exercise, which will relate to the theme of the podcast. And it's a process of just reflecting on some aspect of nature. to do with the theme, and this weekend was about just focusing on the arrival of the light and all the new life that is beginning to appear with the arrival of spring, and then just thinking about the new things that we as individuals might want to bring into being in our lives, both practically, like what we might want to grow in the garden or in our homes, but also, you know, projects we might want to get started or new things we might want to get on with for this year. And then we talk about other aspects of the equinox and spring, and then leave people with an activity or an exercise to do, which Holly described very beautifully on this episode.
Amazing. Holly, do you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, I mean, it's, if anyone wants to listen to it, it's just called the Seasonal Sensations Podcast, and it's on most of the major podcast sites, so you can search for it on there. Andy's just described it. We kind of take it in turns to do the different sections, and we both add our kind of individual perspectives in there. Feedback so far from the people that have listened to it is that it's really enjoyable and people have been subscribing to it. So that bodes well for the next episode. And we're gonna try and do them every 2 weeks at the moment. Because I'm furloughed at the moment from my job, so I have lots of time, but it may go to one a month, if, you know, depending on how much time we've got. But yeah, we just want to keep that connection going with people, and keep people getting out, because I know a lot of people have found kind of solace and a bit of joy, you know, in these times when everyone's been on lockdown. A lot of people have found real happiness kind of going out into nature. Mm. And personally, I don't want to see that stopping when everybody returns to work and things get back to what we might call normal. Yeah. You know, I think that it's incredibly important to keep that momentum up, and keep people going out into nature and doing things, you know, and keep that sort of community going.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, sort of building up, personal building level, on. It's kept me sane. Going out for dog walks, you know, in the forest, yeah, and things, it definitely helps. Yeah.
I think it's been so transformational for many people's relationship with nature this last year. One thing I really love about the past podcast and what Holly's done with it, though, is when we each of us are talking about the animals we've noticed, Holly's managed to thread in what that animal sounds like as well. So as we're talking, you can hear what the actual animal, whether it's a bird call or a different animal, that's calling. So, which is another way of people just getting us, you know, becoming familiar with what they're hearing when they're out, yes, in nature themselves. And actually the next episode is scheduled to be out for Easter weekend.
Can I ask how you tailor your sessions for visually impaired people? How is it more descriptive? Obviously you bring in the noise and the sounds of things as well.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that you do?
Well, I think partly bringing in the sounds, but also because I have a visual impairment myself,
yeah,
when I'm describing what I've noticed, all of that is obviously, none of it's visual. It will be just what I've heard, smelt, touched, not tasted yet, fortunately. But perhaps in the autumn there might be a few things to taste. Although I don't know, because there are. I was doing a thing yesterday where you can make teas and tonics from things like stinging nettles and pine needles and other plants. Right now it's a really good time for that sort of thing, because the fresh growth has just started, so they're full of minerals and nutrients and vitamins right now. So it's really great, a really great time to just make stinging nettle tea or dandelion tea or some, yeah, those sort of things.
And of course, there's lots of wild garlic around at the moment, as well. I've noticed that if you go out in a woodland near, you know, a damp woodland at the moment, you just get kind of overwhelmed by the smell of garlic.
Yeah.
It's an amazing smell, though, isn't it? Yeah. It's an absolutely lovely smell.
And apparently stinging nettle and wild garlic soup is supposed to be amazing.
Get some gloves on. Get some gloves on and go harvest some nettles.
So, if anybody, can people still get involved with your Zoom chats as well, Andy?
Yeah. So, if people want to find out about my Sunday afternoon sessions, all they need to do is find my Facebook page, which is Natural Inclusion, and like that. And then I'll, whenever I post details of the next event, they should then see that in their feed.
So we can share your page onto the iTalk resources, so people can, if anyone listening who wants to get involved and wants to find it more easily, we'll get that done at some point today. So that will be up there.
Can I say a bit more about the Western Book?
Yeah, I was just going to ask you about that in a sec, because you're looking for people to act as guides, aren't you? Sensory guides, I guess.
Yeah, so this is an evolution of the project that Holly and I started at Skipton Castle Woods, but we're now running it at Western Burt Arboretum near Tetbury in Gloucestershire. And the intention is that we'll be running sensory tours for the public, and these are going to be led by visually impaired tour leaders. At the moment, we're looking for volunteers. So if you have a visual impairment and you live in Gloucestershire, sort of within about 50 minutes drive of the sites near Tetbury, and like the idea of being a sensory guide on these walks, then get in touch with the team.
So what sort of site is that people are going to?
So Western Burt Arboretum is a combination of sites, really. It's a collection of trees from all around the world, actually, and it's on the site of a big family estate, which was originally owned by the Holford family, and one of the Holfords, Robert Holford, made it his mission to collect exotic trees and bring them back to the UK. Back at the time when there were these, what they called the plant hunters, going around the world, who were bringing back exotic plants from the Andes and Africa or different locations in the world. So it's quite a large site of many exotic species of trees, but with a very good network of paths going through them. But there's also an area of ancient woodland which is called the Silkwood, which is a very different, a much more natural feeling woodland as well. So there's two sites really there, and we'll be working with the volunteers to create sensory walks around the Arboretum and the Silkwood as well, to create a more multi-sensory experience for visitors. So not just in the traditional way of visitors seeing not just in the traditional ways of visitors looking at the exotic trees, but actually experiencing many more of their features. So some of them have got a really interesting bark, some have amazing scents, some have a particular sound in the wind. You know, there's much more to these trees than just how they appear, and we're just trying to bring that out and using people who have lived experience of using their non-visual senses in daily life to do that.
Sounds very exciting.
It does. It sounds amazing.
Sounds really interesting.
So are people going to be, will the visually impaired guides work alongside somebody else, or will they be sort of working solo?
Yeah. It's a really good question. So they will join the volunteer guide training program. So they'll be trained, be given the full training that the Western Burt volunteer guides are given. And they will also they can either bring somebody with them who, if they want to have someone there to provide practical support, or a volunteer, again, will be provided by Western Burt to do that. They'll be leading the walks, but they'll also have a qualified guide with them, again, to provide some of the practical support that's needed when a walk is taken around the site.
Yeah.
But they are leading the group. They're using their non-visual skills to point out, you know, the different sensory features of the Arboretum. Yeah.
What a great idea.
Yeah, sounds lovely, doesn't it?
Because as a sighted person, it's working with Andy on the various things that we've done has really kind of made me so much more aware of the fact that when I visit places, I just kind of tend to rely on my sight so much and just kind of go, oh, that's a oak tree, oh, that's such and such, you know, and you kind of take shortcuts a little bit. But it's almost like, you know, when you're a child and you go up to a tree and you just want to hug it and kind of smell it and climb it and interact with it and kind of, you know, completely absorb yourself in that tree for a little while. And as an adult, you know, I don't do that anymore, but it would be so much better if I did, you know, when I allow myself to, and, you know, go up to the tree and kind of feel its leaves and give it a hug and kind of just, you know, really experience it. That is so much more of a rich and kind of more better for your mental health and your mental well-being to kind of just allow yourself to use all your different senses. And I think that's what this project that Andy's doing at Western Burt will really help visitors to do. So I think it's fantastic.
Definitely.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So what does the future hold for you guys? So obviously you're going to carry on doing the podcast, I assume, and Holly, you're hopefully going to go back to you'll be unfurloughed.
Yes, I'll go back to the day job, but I shall also be continuing with Nature for Life, which is my own business that I've set up during lockdown. And I'll be running some forest bathing walks in my local area. And I'm also hoping to kind of move more into what I'm calling nature connection coaching. So helping people work through problems that they might be experiencing in their lives by connecting with nature. So kind of improving their mindfulness and their kind of ways of thinking about things by connecting people more closely with nature. So that's something that I'm exploring at the moment. So yeah, exciting times.
Would you like to tell us a little bit about the forest bathing?
I mean, forest bathing, a big part of it is what we've been talking about and experiencing nature using all of your senses. So it's not about kind of going for a walk and kind of trekking through a forest. It's really taking your time to notice things. And there's various exercises that we use when we're doing a forest bathing walk to really help people. So for example, there's an exercise that we do that's to do with listening. And it's almost like thinking of yourself as kind of a radar. So you go off and you stand on your own. So I usually take a small group of people out forest bathing, but then I ask people to just go off a little way into the woods on their own, and then to close their eyes and then to spend a few minutes really concentrating on the sounds that are very close by. So identifying things that they can hear very close to them. And then spend the next few minutes trying to identify sounds and listen really carefully to sounds that are in the sort of middle distance. So with probably within sight a few hundred yards. And then spend a bit of time doing the same, but sounds that are really far away. Like you might be able to hear a distant road or an aeroplane or a bird singing really far away. And just really notice the sounds at those three different distances, and then come back to the group. And then everybody, if they want to, you don't have to do anything in forest bathing. It's kind of an invitation to take part. If you want to share with the group, you can tell people about what you heard and what it was like. So that's just one example of an activity. And there's all different ones like that to really encourage people to explore their surroundings with their different senses. Usually they last a couple of hours, forest bathing experiences, and there's some kind of, if we can, there's some kind of team working where we pair people up to do an activity. So one person will help the other person and then they'll swap over. So it's not just about connecting with nature, it's about connecting with other people as well.
Very much so.
And it's really linked to mindfulness in that you're very present in the moment. You know, you're not thinking about what you've got to get from the shops. You're not thinking about a conversation that you might have had with someone where you might have upset them. You know, you're kind of not dwelling in the past, thinking on things that have happened, and you're not dwelling in the future. You're right there in the present, and you're fully immersed in your surroundings. And that's why it's called forest bathing, because it's about that, about being kind of totally in that experience.
Sounds brilliant.
It's wonderful.
I know. I think me and Joe might be rolling on that one.
Definitely. I know that some counsellors now are doing sort of counselling walks in woodland and things like that, so that for people there's not that pressure of sitting face to face with somebody and opening up, you know, actually you're having a walk with somebody. And I think, and I've, you know, heard there's really good results with that. So it's really interesting, isn't it, the whole mindfulness and meditation and well-being all coming together in different ways. I think is just fantastic. Really good luck with that.
Thank you.
And what about you, Andy? Obviously you've got lots of projects.
Well, similarly, really, I've got similar events, at least had similar events planned pre-pandemic, and I've been hoping to pick those up again, quite a few of them with the National Trust properties that are around where I live. So they'll host them, and then we'll be inviting people just to participate in my nature sense experiences, which do involve a lot of the sort of activities that Holly's just described. And a lot more people working with each other as well. So very much about, using the opportunity not just to build connection with nature, but actually to just for people to work on relationships and support each other. It's very much a process of supporting each other to enjoy and appreciate nature as well. So that's a really big focus of it. And, and I think after the few years we've had in this country, I think a process that brings together people and nature, but people with other people, I think is really important.
Definitely.
So yeah, very much trying to rebuild those connections so that we can kind of have a much stronger sense of community with each other and with the natural world.
I think that's a really good note to end on. Thank you so much. No, I really enjoyed that.
Very, very interesting. Thank you, Bugs. Brilliant.
All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. It's been nice to talk to you.